If you're on the campus of a secular university for the first time as a Christian, I bet a lot of people have cautioned you about how the world may influence you. But today I want to talk to you about how you will influence the world. God's heart is for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God has you here, not only for you to grow, but because he is sending you to function as a light of the world, to influence the world, to shine for Jesus at the University of Michigan, in Ann Arbor, and to the world. And of course, this message is not only for those of you Christians who are new to campus, but for all of us who have been changed by Jesus. Matthew 5, Jesus is sitting on a mountainside in front of the disciples, and he teaches what Christians are to be, what citizens of the kingdom of heaven are to look like. And notice that his focus is not so much about what they believe, but how they live. And it is upside down of what citizens of the world are. It's the inverse of what the culture expects. In Matthew 5:3, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, those who possess the kingdom of heaven are poor in spirit. That means they acknowledge that they do not have the inner resources that they need. They are empty. Where it really counts, they're poor in spirit. They have a sense of their spiritual neediness. They come again and again to God, asking and seeking for the basics for life before God. Matthew 5:4, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In other words, those who mourn over their sin, they don't pretend to be perfect. They realize and take responsibility for their faults and their moral failures. These are the ones whom God accepts and comforts. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are not satisfied, those who are not complacent with their goodness, but they long to be more like Jesus, more free from evil, Jesus says, they will find satisfaction and acceptance by God in this quest. These, and other descriptors as well, these are the happy ones, the blessed Christians. And these are the ones of whom Jesus speaks in verses 13 through 16. "You are the salt of the earth." You, people just like what Jesus has described here, are the light of the world. And we'll be focused on verses 14 through 16. Let me read that again and remind us of what it says. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Many of you are just those people in the kingdom of God, Christians. Not perfect, but real. And this word that we're going to look at today is for each of you, for each of us, especially as you begin a new school year. So let's look at it. First of all, light. Light. This is what you are. Jesus says you are the light of the world. He doesn't say, become light, or you really need to be more like light. It's a statement of fact. It's It's like using a bird book to identify a Kirtland warbler. Oh, there one is. That's it. And that's what Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world. Wasn't always that way. If you would look with me at Ephesians 5, this is page 569 in those Bibles under the seats, Ephesians 5. Let me read verses 8-13, because it talks about where we came from and where we are now, if we are Christians. Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. You were darkness. But Jesus has changed you, if you're a Christian, Jesus has changed you radically and completely from the inside out. Your very identity and being have changed. You've experienced the new birth, and you are the light of the world. Remember, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He said just before his death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, he said, the light is among you for a little while longer. And then when Jesus returned to heaven, he was no longer physically present in the world. So now, who functions in this role as the light of the world? He delegates that to us. Christians, Jesus changed people. And what we read here in Ephesians 5, now you are light in the Lord. You take on this role. Jesus sends you to be the light of the world. Well, now the implication of this is that the world is in darkness, obviously. In darkness, you cannot see to distinguish between evil and good. Spiritually, you walk into a room first thing in the morning, because fall is creeping upon us and it's dark then. And you turn on the light, because in the darkness I might step on a cat. I might bump into something. All of those things have happened. So I turn on the light so I can see. But in the darkness, you can't. In spiritual darkness, in this world, you cannot see to distinguish between evil and good. In fact, many deny there is a difference between evil and good. It's all the same. It's whatever you think it is. But when the light shines in, well, first of all, it's blinding, and things are revealed by the light that were not even known to be there. The light reveals realities that the darkness completely obscured. And so in our world of darkness, what God calls evil, often the world calls morally good, and vice versa, because they cannot see and distinguish in the darkness. And the problem is not intellectual, the problem is moral. And so you are the light of the world. Who? Every one of you here who is a Christian, not just pastors, certainly not educators or politicians or nonprofits or NGOs, it's everyone who is a Christian. You are the light of the world. You are light on campus. You are light in your neighborhood. You are light at work. You are light in your dorm. You are light when you go to a party. You are the light of the world. Jesus says you have a role and a responsibility in this world. What is that responsibility? What does light do? Well, we'll mention three things. First of all, light exposes what is hidden in darkness. Light exposes what is hidden in darkness. When I walk into a dark room, I don't know what's there because it's dark. Are there snakes there? Is there a burglar there? I don't know because I can't see. But when I switch the light on, everybody knows what is there. Ephesians 5:13, we've already read it. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Light exposes what is hidden in darkness. And when you live like a Christian next to our friends in the world, the light shines and exposes. For example, if you value the truth, if you're careful to speak only the truth, if you keep your commitments, that exposes others around you who don't do the same. Those who say things they don't mean just to please people. Those who break their promises, they are exposed for what they are. Now they may say, "Ooh, now I know that carelessness about the truth is wrong. I didn't know people lived like that." And it may bother their conscience. But when you're just used to darkness, and somebody turns on the light, well, that hurts your eyes. And you wish they would stop it and turn off the light. But that's what you're supposed to do as the light of the world. And we cannot tiptoe around pretending that wrong is right. Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. We're Christians. We cannot blend in. You are the light of the world. And we don't do this to try to condemn every sinner. After all, we're sinners. But there is a difference between light and darkness. We can't just act like everything is gray. You cannot partner or participate with those who live in darkness, Ephesians 5 again, because you are not darkness anymore. And we realize that not everyone is delighted about being exposed as a sinner. John 3:19 and 20, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. And so when the light shines in, when you're present next to those who love evil and practice evil, they see what was not clear before, and they often do not respond well to that. The light shows them to be sinners. They hate the light. They run from the light. The light exposes what is hidden in darkness. Secondly, light dispels darkness. Light dispels darkness. Light dispels ignorance. When I was in darkness, I didn't really understand the difference between right and wrong and who God is and what he expects of me. I didn't understand. But as I am around Christians and I see it lived out, that all starts to come together. You know, I didn't think real people lived like this, believed this, hoped and loved like this. And so you're life and your words act like light, helping those around you see who Jesus is and how he changes people. How important is that? They need you to see and understand the difference between light and darkness, who God is and what he does. In the third place, light lightens darkness. Light lightens darkness. Well, after a long night, morning light appears. Darkness recedes, the birds begin to sing again, a hopeful new day dawns. How welcome the light is! Daybreak, or sunshine to melt away the fog, or a flashlight when power goes out in your house. How welcome the light is. A chapter earlier in Matthew 4 cites Isaiah 9, 2 and 3, and it predicts the coming of Jesus on the earth. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Or Malachi says, but as for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, bringing joy, bringing hope. A whole new world is visible. Yep, when Christians are the light of the world, some near them will hate. I mean, it talks in verses 10 and 11 here of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before them. So some will hate upon being exposed, but some will rejoice at the joy and hope that comes with the light. The shining of the light spells the end of sadness, the end of guilt. Jesus and his good news of forgiveness bring hope, like my guilt and my shame have never let me see before. My dreariness, my endless gloom dissipate in the light of Jesus. I've been angry at wrongs done. I've suffered because of injustice. I've been victimized through my powerlessness. Death in the grave only meant darkness at the end of the tunnel of my life. But all of that changes with Jesus and the light he brings. Light lightens darkness. You are the light of the world. Light, that is what you are. Secondly, shine, that is what you do. Shine, that is what you do. What does light do? What are you called to do? Well, verse 15, people don't light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light. It gives light. It gives light to all in the house. Not like that candle. It really does give light to all in the house. Light shines. Verse 16, let your light shine before others. This is what you do as the light of the world. So do what you do. Be what you are, what God has made you to be. Shine. And what is the end result of your shining like a light in the world? Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that, with a result that, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Shine so that they will see your good works. Again, light contrasting with darkness. With the evil deeds, you will stand out in bold relief. You will be there in 3D. You will stand out as light in the darkness. It's interesting that the word here for good, good works, is not just morally good, but it means beautifully good. It's attractive. Your good works elicit admiration, like a beautiful painting. They're a wow to those who are in darkness. And what do we mean? Well, for example, just from our passage here, Christians love their enemies. They don't hate their enemies. And in a world, in our world of virulent hate and hate speech, where I stick to my tribe and I demonize those whom I oppose or who oppose me, Christians will stand out as different. We will not resist those who are evil. We will not retaliate. Verse 39, but instead of looking to get even, we will love our enemies. This is shining. Christians will have compassion on and care for our enemies when they're hurt, like the Good Samaritan who doesn't pass by on the other side and ignores, but he gets involved and he takes action and he helps even someone who would have racially been its enemy. This is shining. When we, instead of stepping on our enemy when they're down or crushing them, we get involved and love and help them. Christians, like God their Father, verse 44, will seek the good of all men, even those who persecute them. And they'll pray for them, and they'll do things that specifically benefit them. God gives sun and rain even to those who hate him. And so we, like God, will do things that specifically benefit those who want nothing to do with us, who actively oppose us. This is shining. Christians will love their marriage partners, and they'll sacrifice themselves for them, and they'll be faithful to them, and they'll live in relationships that are beautiful and authentic and deeply committed. In contrast to those who use / discard their hookup partners, who have relationships that center only on themselves, what they want, and they can get, this is shining. And notice that all of this is more about our works than our words, because anybody can talk. Anybody can say good things. Your works will validate your words. And you can talk Christian, and people argue about the concepts and say, well, that belief, that isn't really true. It's just your idea. But how do you argue with a life that shines, a life that is loving, a life that is consistent? That is radically jarring. And this is what shining is all about. But it's interesting, isn't it? It says, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Why don't they just glorify you? Bart, you're the best. Keegan, I want to be like you. No, that's not what they're saying. They see your good works and they glorify your Father who's in heaven. Why? Well, because the connection between you and your Father is patent. It's obvious. It's clear to them. They know you're a Christian. Amber, she's a Christian. That's why she's like that. So you need to let your light shine. And you, there do need to be words. You need to make the fact that you are a Christian clear. You're not just a good citizen, but you were changed by God. You're motivated by Jesus. You're powered by the Holy Spirit. You are a Christian. Make it explicit. Spell it out. Say it. And then they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Light, shine, and lastly, don't hide. Don't hide. This is what they need. Shine. It's your task. It's your calling. It's your role in the world. What is God's will for your life? Should you get married? I don't know. What should your major be? I don't know. What should your future career be? And what should your next steps be? I don't know. But I do know this about God's will for your life. You are the light of the world. This is God's will for you. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Lamps are designed, manufactured, and sold to spread light. They're not made to be put under a basket or in a closet or under the bed. The fact is, light is unmistakably visible in darkness. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, and this is what you are if you're a Christian. You couldn't hide if you wanted to, because you are light. So shine. Don't hide. Realize your calling. Realize your privilege to bring hope and joy, the opportunity to bring clarity and understanding to a world around you. And we get scared of the pushback. We get scared of the sneers. We get scared of the ridicule. Will you get flack? Will you be hated and persecuted by some? Yes, just as Jesus has said, we will receive pushback. But rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. You weren't the first one to ever be persecuted who names the name of Jesus. So settle that in our minds now and be prepared and don't hide. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Before others. Explicitly. In other words, they're gonna see. They're gonna notice. There's no provision here for camouflage. There's no blending in. There's no gray. It's black and white. You are the light of the world. Two chapters later, Matthew 7, Jesus says, you are to pray in secret, go into your inner room. But your life as a Christian is not to be a secluded life. It's not to be a withdrawn life. It's not to be a monastic life. It is to be visible before others in the world so that they may see your good works. So don't hide. Don't put a basket over the light. This is not what you were born again for. Jesus has left you here in the world, has sent you into the world to be the light of the world. Invisibility is not in line with your new identity. You are light. So don't hide. God has a job for you to do. Let your light shine. Why are you here in Ann Arbor? Why are you in that dorm? Why are you on that team? Why are you in that study group? Why are you in that job? To shine. To shed light. To bring truth and peace and joy. And to influence those around you. I hope you're excited about shining for Jesus. It's a little scary, too. But remember that Jesus is your light as well. So how do I tackle this? What do I do? Well, study Jesus in the Gospels, how he lived. That lays it out for you about how we are to live as well. How do I do it? Well, Jesus will show you. Jesus will help you one day at a time. Your Father in heaven knows just what you need. He's just waiting for you to ask him for it. So all this time I've been talking to Christians because if you're not a Christian, because we care about you. We want you to know this Jesus who has so changed our lives, who's made us see, has taken our sin and guilt away and given us a whole new view of life, the future. He's freed us. We want you to see and to know this Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray.